Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. I'd like now to welcome to the program Vince Cadlebeck, Katie Kennedy, and Nicholas Chiarella. They are all with Meow Wolf, and their latest exhibition, their latest show, The Do Return, opens tonight at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe, at 5 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
So this is yet another massive Meow Wolf undertaking with at least 100 artists working in various groups, and you have built a ship. You want to tell us how this idea came to be?
Well, we got word that we possibly could do an installation, or a project, I should say, inside of the Munoz Waxman Gallery at CCA. And it's 6,000 square feet. And we took that information back to the group and this last June, so almost a year ago now. And we sat around and thought about, you know, how we could fill that space, how we could make that space feel small, and how we could make it seem like a Meow Wolf, a sort of, you know, classic Meow Wolf installation.
What are the characteristics of a classic Meow Wolf installation?
Explosive and filling the room beyond its limits, for sure. People have been asking me that, and especially about this show, I've been telling people, especially about the show in terms of, like, whether or not we're on schedule. And I've been saying that, like, if there's anything consistently that we do, because we do so many very different things, is that we pull things off.
That's true.
But I'd say just huge is usually, because if it's in a small room, then the room is, like, totally covered in things. It's in a big room, so we filled the space completely. All the shows have been pretty different. But they are all, like, every artist involved has a say and has a space and has, is represented. And it's cohesive in that it's crazy.
And it's cohesive in that, I mean, this is something that, I don't know how you do it, and maybe you can explain it, or maybe you can't explain it, but every artist who is working has a role and has a say and has their individuality, and yet the whole thing always seems to cohere as not a kind of crazy patchwork that doesn't make sense, but actually as a coherent whole that does make sense. The play that you did, the installations you've done, they have a unified sensibility. And this, which I've only seen so far in progress, I mean, it opens this afternoon, but The Do Return, this gigantic, really life-size ship,
yeah,
again, has a story. It has a whole bunch of stories.
Yeah. The storyline was developed in part by one small group, maybe about 12 to 15 artists and writers. But really, the overall telling of the tale, I think, is a cooperation among all of the artists working on the project together, because it's the kind of environment where we're able to play off of one another's ideas rather than simply say, well, this is my space and that's your space. It's much more cooperative than that.
We're able to kind of like create structures. And this is both for projects that we do and then also for Meow Wolf as an organization in general, is create like strong and broad structure, structure to operate within. But that is... able to contain and house safely people's individual ideas. And so, you know, and this show's like a perfect example of that. It's like, build a ship, have the ship available to whatever artists come through to, you know, to get down on inside and go at it. So the cohesive piece is, you know, this giant ship that sits in the room and the pieces that are around it. And then inside is like total freedom for people, you know, to just kind of go crazy with.
The ship is a framework.
Yeah.
As many of our shows have had frameworks, some of which have really only been the building that we used to have, was the framework for several shows.
The building down on Second Street.
Yeah. The concept, though, has become the framework, both physically and just conceptually. Like, the once the ship was filled in, or like framed in, it was literally a framework for people to come in and flesh out the rooms, you know, like build the lab, build, you know, each of the bunks is by mostly one, sometimes two artists. And because, like, the only thing that I can really equate the energy to is, like, being at school, at art school, or in, like, art classes at school where you're all working in the same area, and it's getting close to, like, final critique time. The difference being, though, that we're all working on the same thing. Like, we're all in our little areas, but the whole is a whole, not individual projects.
So this is a big ship, and audience members, and it's an environment in which the ship exists. So there's stuff in the ceiling, the floors, and all around. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot of art that is part of this, not just the ship itself. And people can walk around. They can go in. They can go to each room or space or the deck right. within and on the ship. And there are, among other things, an actual story that involves kind of time warps, or
yeah.
how does that work?
So the ship itself is a trans-dimensional vessel that has been traveling for 160, 170 human years through multiple vortices, 30 of them, and the latest time space that it exists in is the time space that we have created at CCA. So the audience will be experiencing the 31st era, or the 31st time space, known as TD plus 31, and there are 30 eras prior to that, all of which have been fleshed out by writers. Added, you know, sketches, added photos, added video, added stories, and
And how do we experience those?
The audience member experiences them, well, through the archive, which is sort of Nick's forte, so.
Yeah, so the archive space is filled kind of like a museum and a gallery and a library all kind of crushed together. So there will be a digital display where people can read through the 60,000 plus word history that's been created, and browse through the objects, watch videos, listen to audio, and there's also kind of a display case areas for them to view objects as well and interact in that way.
And so, meanwhile, they can do that. They can also, there's a kind of technical, interactive
yeah.
aspect of it where they can, audience members can control what? The lights?
The lights and there's different life forms in this foreign environment that feed off of and give off light that the audience members can manipulate. There are tree-like forms that speak to each other in light and give off light that audience members can mess with inside of the control room, which is upstairs on the deck, or through an iPhone app. And same with this 350 LED light grid, essentially, that's on the ceiling that also will take audience audience control.
Stars,
yeah, there's a, what's it called, a star field.
Uh-huh.
Star field, which yeah. is super cool.
Except when you're standing on deck, you're up among them. They're not just like stars up in the sky. They're
right.
these, each one is a little sculpture, essentially, made of all sorts of different stuff that you can, we're trying to keep them out of actual reach,
yeah.
but you
so
can
you
almost reach
them.
Out and touch them.
Right.
Fictionally speaking, they are a like a weed, almost like a weed-like organism. If you pluck one, 10 will appear instantaneously somewhere else. So don't pluck them.
Now, there's also a performance aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, when we decided to do a show of this size, and we had a year to work on it, and we're all focusing, it's like, let's make this as immersive, as multimedia as possible. So that included, you know, storyline, and then also includes performance. And the first weekend and the second weekend, both Friday and Saturday, there'll be performances happening from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Friday and Saturday nights of the first two weekends, and on the last two weekends.
Today and tomorrow,
right.
And then how long does this go?
That will go, the whole show runs for 9 weeks, and
okay.
the performances happen on the first two weekends, and the last two weekends. So, and the performance elements are like 30 vignette-style performances that will sort of happen randomly. So there's no real schedule for the performances. You as an audience member show up, and you'll stumble upon a conversation here, or a science experiment in the lab over there, or a presentation in the archive. You'll just sort of stumble upon these different, you know, scripted moments that are happening.
Now, there is an aspect of the story that involves a place called Shirkin Island, which is a real place.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
The ship was there in 2010, probably much like our own, and the crew was able to experience that. And Vince did a lot of the kind of writing and research around that, but it turned into kind of a fun idea that a few of us picked up on. We had a letter to the editor sent from Shirkin Island to the Santa Fe Reporter, and they ran that.
So Shirkin Island is a real island off the coast of Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so
we visited Shirkin Island. The Do Return visited Shirkin Island about 14 human years ago, and it was two eras ago. So the 29th era was Shirkin Island, and we stayed there for about 7 years, from 2003 to 2010. And the crew of the Do Return fell in love with modern Earth culture, like, you know, living together in communities and drinking at bars and enjoying music. And the crew members experienced a life outside of traveling, you know, trans-dimensional ship travel.
Were these ship crew were not human beings?
Oh, no, the ship crews, they're humans. Yeah, all ship crews are some variation of human. The universal human race, not Earth-based. So they got to experience sort of like what Earth-based human culture is like, and really fell in love with it. And unfortunately, though, they decided to continue traveling.
And so what do the people of Shirkin Island think of your project?
Oh, they love it. It's a pretty small community, and they know about it. I post on their Facebook page quite a bit about the Do Return, and I've talked with a few of them in person, and they all just, they think it's wild. They think it's awesome. They don't know why we chose Shirkin Island. So,
yeah, why did you?
It's just, I just was looking on a map and was like, oh, that sounds nice. Sounds like a nice place.
So this project represents yet another step in the evolution of Meow Wolf, which started off as, what, a dozen or so artists, maybe?
Yeah, about 9 or 10, say, yeah. For quite some time, and then it grew a year later into probably more like 20, and it's just, you know, kind of fluctuates all over the place.
And now it's over 100.
Over 100 people have worked on this. Yeah, absolutely. And the evolution sort of is, who knows what's next? You know, it's not necessarily like a linear track. Like, this is the evolution for this specific project. Like, this, in order to pull this specific project off, there's certain things that we needed to do. Certain directions, certain evolutions, I guess you could call them, that we need to go through. But there's aspects of that might live on and might not, you know what I mean?
And a lot of that 100 people, like, some of them came by to help for a couple of days or even just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And some of them showed up a couple weeks ago and have been there all day ever since.
That'd be right.
You know, which is sort of, when it comes to, like, really being, like, doing, there's doing stuff with Meow Wolf and then really being a part of Meow Wolf, there's no, like, membership or, you know, being voted in or anything. It's more like just showing up and not leaving.
Right. Yeah.
And so there are already a few new people who I don't really know where they came from, but they're there all the time now again. And so now they're part of it. Our numbers of that were, I don't know, around 35 for a long time. The meetings have been around 35 for a long time, and that has grown a little bit recently. Because of this project and people coming in to help and just seeing how much they like helping and deciding to stay.
It strikes me as kind of almost like an ecosystem where everybody has kind of a different skill set and they all work together in ways that are not controlled from the top down.
That's the best way I've ever heard it explained, because people ask if it's like anarchistic or if there's a hierarchy, and it's neither one. Like, it's definitely not anarchy, and there's not really a hierarchy. It's just sort of organic.
Yeah.
And it's really an environment where even if certain tasks takes a special skill, like the Starfield, for instance, is a set of hand-wired electronics. Well, the people that were making that Starfield didn't necessarily know how to solder wires or didn't know how to run LEDs before that, but they were able to acquire that skill. It's kind of an environment where we can foster growth in one another's talents.
And it's been very much a group of younger artists, which is really refreshing. But again, at the with this project, you've got kind of a wider age range, and the people with more experience are kind of teaching everybody else how to do the things that they want to learn how to do.
Yeah, at the core, it's still, you know, when it came to design, when it came to all the architectural stuff with regards to the ship, when it came to, you know, pretty much everything at the core is still the same Meowwolf members, the same, you know, the same people who have sort of been with Meowwolf for a while now, younger. And then along the way, it's like, we needed tons of help. We knew that. And there were people who were like, knew exactly how to raise a, I don't know how much those weighed, 2,000 pound beam, you know, or whatever it was, you know, they knew exactly how to raise that and place it, you know, 'cause they've done it before. So, you know, called Sean's cousin, Tom Hennessy from Bernalillo, and got him to come up, and he's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, running the show. So yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing opportunity for us to sort of like see how like experienced contractors and builders do things, you know, with the designs that like we've come up with. So.
How did you figure out how to build? I mean, I know it's not seaworthy, but still, it's a ship. It looks like a ship. You've
well,
got
kind of
the
like
ribs
a house.
Of the ship. Yeah, but I mean,
it's a ship-shaped house,
right?
With kind of that doesn't have a bottom to it in a way.
Yeah. Well, a big part of the ship was that like, when we decided to do a ship, the next question was, can people get on the deck? Will people be able to get on the deck? And if so, that is going to totally change what this project is. And it was like, the answer was obviously like, yes, people have to be able to get on top of the deck. So that made it so that it had to be structural. So you know, really Sean Diani and Chris Hilson really spent, and Sarah Bradley spent like quite some time like designing it. And Sean came up with a really ingenious way of being able to quickly make the curve and, you know, make the bow, and so that we could get into the space. We only had 6 weeks in CCA to create this thing. So he made it easy for us to just sort of like, you know, slap it together and get it up.
And then he had some help from an architect who's,
Savannah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know her last name, unfortunately, but like he was putting things together digitally on the computer, like 3D designs, and she definitely helped a lot with the like actual, you know, architectural engineering part of it, because mm-hmm. there's a lot at risk when
well, it has to hold everybody who's going to walk
exactly.
on it
and itself,
exactly. right?
So, but now it will.
And kudos to Sean Diani, who also designed the set of the play that you guys did last year, The Moon Is to Live On, which was equally ingenious in its own way. So this is going to be up for the next 9 weeks.
9 weeks, yeah.
And performances that may be fairly subtle. In other words, when people come in, they have to kind of look to notice who's the performer and who's just walking
mm-hmm.
around.
Yeah, those again will be happening the first two weekends and the last two weekends, so tonight and tomorrow. Next week, and then the closing two weekends. And then the time in between, we are open on Wednesday and Thursdays from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then we're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 1 p.m. until 10 p.m. And that's
and
every week.
Some of those days will have programming, right?
Yeah,
like
some of those
concerts
days.
Concerts and things?
Yeah, Saturdays will be pretty, will be some visiting musicians who come and play on Saturdays. So it's a little bit more festive each Saturday.
Excellent. So I wanted to ask you guys, are there other groups in the United States or anywhere who are working in similar ways that you do? Are you in touch with other people? Is there kind of cross-pollination?
A little bit. I mean, I don't know that much about it. I've been pretty absorbed in what we're doing here. But there are definitely quite a few collectives that it's sort of what's being, it's what's the only real way for young artists to get a foot in sometimes is to do so in a group. and there are groups popping up all over the place. And I mean, it's my email that's on the website, so I get a lot of emails from all different things. But I've been just sort of watching as there's a Congress of Collectives. That's what they're calling it right now anyway, that I've just sort of been watching the emails go through and reading them as they go, but not really responding, that they've been having dinners, I guess, in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been Skyping in from all over the world. Like, I read one yesterday that was asking if they could do a brunch sometime because it was much too late in the Middle East. Like, it's...
Right.
It's... definitely happening all over the world for sure, and it has been very insular for a long time. Like, you know, it does kind of feel like, you know, you're the only one doing it, but it's starting to there's more communication happening, and it's really fun to see what other people are doing, because there are a lot of similarities and a lot of differences too. Like, there are a lot of much more anarchistic or like consensus-based groups, and there are a lot of hierarchy-based groups, and much smaller ones and much bigger ones, and there's a lot of variety. It's really interesting.
How did you get all this financed? Where did all the materials come from?
We did like 7 months of fundraising. It's another huge aspect of the show, a huge part of, you know, Meow Wolf's growth, I guess you could say, is... you know, having this vision, putting a budget to the vision, and then raising the money to fulfill the budget. And, private donors, businesses, and then we got a grant from Site Santa Fe called the Site Santa Fe Spread Grant, happened a little bit ago, about a month and a half ago. And that was a good chunk of money, about $8,000 that we got from them, or from that event. And most recently, we got funded by the Albuquerque Community Foundation, for documentation and marketing purposes. So all in all, we've raised close to about $45,000 for the show.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
When we, you know, and that was around the number that we first set out. So it's, you know, it's this amazing process of sort of having a vision, having a work ethic, and then getting there.
The Do Return opens tonight. Meow Wolf, Vince Cadlebeck, Katie Kennedy, and Nicholas Chiarella, thank you all for being with us, and we will see you at the CCA, the Munoz Waxman Gallery, tonight and every weekend for the next 9 weeks. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us every Friday. Speaking of the arts, bienvenido.
Good morning.
And Michelle LaFlamme Childs has buzzed in.
Hello.
She's from the Santa Fe Art Institute, and they've got a lot of stuff coming up.
We do have a bunch of stuff coming up.
What's coming up?
This Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Art Institute, Nancy Holt is doing a book release for her new beautiful book, Sightlines. She'll be there.
What's
doing
it about?
Well, it's about her work. Nancy Holt is a large-scale land art sculptor. And she has, it's a beautiful hardcover book of her work. It's a sort of a retrospective of her work. It's got interviews in it, essays in it by Lucy Lepard and a lot of other interesting folks. The book, she'll do a short presentation at the Art Institute in the lounge, and then she'll do a book signing in the library.
Excellent.
So that's on Sunday. Thursday evening is a special fundraiser for the Art Institute. It's the first in our series of architectural tours of Santa Fe. So Thursday evening, it's a tour of the Thornburg. Now, they have a very specific way they like their name said. Thornburg Investment Management Campus, which is a Legarreta building. It's a LEEDS certified building, which is an environmental certification, and it's absolutely beautiful. So there is a fee for that, obviously, because it's a fundraiser. You can go to sfai.org and get all that information.
Or
and there's a series of them.
Or 424-5050.
Or you could call us at 424-5050 after 9 when we're open.
Yeah, right.
And there's a series of those that the information is available on the website and our blog. And then lastly, on Friday night, we have a lecture by artist and educator Kim Stringfellow. She's an environmental artist. She does work related to built environment, land use, things like that. And she is a multimedia artist. She does just every kind of work you can imagine in about those issues. She'll be speaking on Friday night at Tipton Hall at 6. There's a small fee for that. And then she'll have a two-day workshop Saturday and Sunday if there's enough interest, 10 to 4 at the Art Institute.
Excellent.
So lots of stuff. And that's all just next week.
And that's all just the Santa Fe Art Institute. Santa Fe Art Institute, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been down there, is a wonderful building. It's also a Legarreta building.
It is a Legarreta building. Oh, and I forgot
Legarreta
to mention.
Legarreta being a famous architect who uses colors and form very beautifully.
Yeah, it's a lot of color. He's really wonderful. He's a Mexican architect. Kim Stringfellow's work is also up at the Art Institute, along with the work of Yves-André Larame, who also does environmental activist type art through May 31st.
Excellent. Michelle Laflamme-Childs from the Santa Fe Art Institute, thank you for being with us.
Thank you as always, Mary Charlotte.
And now go open the building.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Hey, Rob DeWalt.
What's up?
So, yeah, you tell me what's up. What's going on?
Well, there's way too much. I mean, everybody's...
I know, it's spring.
It's spring. Spring has sprung, and I don't think it's going to snow this weekend. So that's awesome.
It's not going to snow this weekend?
No, it's not going to snow this weekend.
Well, then?
Well, it better not, because there's all kinds of fun stuff happening, especially, everyone is talking about the Dew Return.
Yes, the Dew Return.
Just heard the interview,
uh-huh.
Or part of it anyway, when I was driving in trying to
stay
away.
No, and that's fantastic. I went over there, and it is every day during the... one of the things that Meow Wolf does so well is they can envision this huge thing, and then as you're watching it in process... You think, gee, I wonder if they're going to really pull this off. Like,
yeah.
What the heck? And then when you see the final thing, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Well, the wonderful thing about the Dew Return is that, I mean, there were a lot of hands and minds involved in this project, you know, up to and probably more than 100 people.
Yeah,
doing
definitely.
Doing sort of hands-on work and mentorship and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think we both went down there during the construction. And as always happens, when they did their habitat exhibit last year, when they had a space to call their own, it was the same thing. People were like, how are they going to pull this off?
Yeah.
But they have an entire community behind them.
Yeah.
And
that community is called Us.
Yes. And
and the many volunteers who actually jump in and do stuff.
Well, they were smart. They reached out to a larger community. They reached out to Kickstarter.com and raised a lot of money. You know, they reached out to, they did the site Santa Fe Spread thing, which I think is awesome. Raised more money there than I think was expected.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked. There was a sort of a press preview last night that I couldn't make, and I know that I'm going to try and make it tonight, but, you know, I mean, it's because of space and because of the largesse of the ship, I mean, it's 70 feet long and 25 feet
wide. It's very, very big.
They can only have 25 people in there, or 300 people in there. At a time. So
at
it's
a time.
Like in and out, in and out, in and out, in and
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
So bring a shawl, bring an umbrella.
Meow Wolf, you heard it here first on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Right. And you know, bring cash because they want a donation. But also, you know, there's going to be a little cocktail area.
Cocktails.
But they're not going to be taking credit cards.
Oh, okay.
So bring cash.
Yeah, they also have this cool, you can buy a round patch to sew onto your blue jean jacket that says the Dew Return. It's super cool.
Are they selling patches?
I got one, yeah, yeah.
I saw the design for the patch,
it's
but
nice.
I didn't. Yeah. Actually, Vince emailed me yesterday. Apparently, there was a story in Albuquerque's The Alibi, and somebody actually attributed a photograph to me. I didn't take the photograph, by the way, just so I don't get into any trouble.
Not guilty as charged.
Right. But you know, the thing is going to be up through, I believe, July 10th. So there's plenty of time to see it, but early support is always important.
I recommend going to the opening tonight, and then I recommend also going another time when there's not a lot of people there, like on a Tuesday afternoon or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Check out the Dew Return website, or you could go to page 32 in Pasatiempo and read a wonderful story by me.
No. Now, strange as it may sound, there are other things going on besides
Meow
Wolf.
Absolutely, and this is my day. This is actually my day. I'm going to go to Brink. I might go to the Dew Return first, but Brink is a collaborative dance, music, and theater production by students and faculty from the New Mexico School for the Arts.
Yes.
And I'm going with a proud mom of one of the students tonight at 8 p.m., and that's at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center over there on West San Francisco Street.
Yes, they wrote to me. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get them on the air this week, but definitely check it out. New Mexico School for the Arts, It's wonderful that they're there and that they're getting the community audience support for their public presentations like this.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. It's a fairly intensive program. These kids are dedicated to what they do.
Yeah,
and
they better
be. And so are the faculty.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great show. You can get tickets at the Lensic, of course, 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org. That's happening tonight. There's tons of other openings. Oh, I forgot. The 20th annual El Dorado Studio Tour starts, well, it really starts tomorrow, but there's sort of a kickoff tonight at the La Tienda Shopping Center on Caliente Road out there in El Dorado, and that is from 5 to 7:30 p.m. There's
going to
be
What does kickoff mean? Wine and cheese?
Yeah, there's going to be, well, refreshments. I'm not sure what that means. But I don't know.
Yeah, these days it probably means Kool-Aid and...
Cheese can be refreshing. but anyway, there's a preview gallery that's sort of at La Tienda Shopping Center. They have their own sort of gallery set up. So there's a gala opening at 7:30 from 5 to 7:30 p.m. tonight, and then the tour itself is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. If you go to eldoradostudiotour.org, you can get a list of the artists. There's 110 artists this year.
And speaking of El Dorado, Songwriters in the Round, tonight at 7:30 at the Santa Fe Performance Exchange, songwriters featuring in the round featuring Sean Halen, John O'Manson, and Tim Wilford. 7:30 Santa Fe Performance Exchange is at 7 Caliente Road in El Dorado, and you can go to brownpapertickets.com or santafeperformanceexchange.org or call 466-3116.
Cool. I think it's Wyford. Isn't it Tim Wyford? Yeah.
Oh, right, I read it wrong.
Okay.
Thank you.
Speaking of El Dorado, just one more time, because I'm a kid at heart and I love cowboys. Wild West Day on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at La Tienda Shopping Center. There's going to be stagecoach rides, roping, blacksmithing demonstrations, live music, and a large-scale installation by artist Tom Ross titled Buffalo Bill and the Indians. It's like all of these little, I want to say that they're life-size sort of installation pieces that are sort of set up outside, so it's pretty cool.
Cool.
And that's basically free, but there's a horseshoe toss tournament, and there's a registration fee to benefit Bienvenidos, which is a local hunger prevention nonprofit.
Excellent.
If you go to latiendaeldorado.com, you can get more information on that event. Okay, so El Dorado's got it going on.
All right. Meanwhile, here in Santa Fe, at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at 107 West Barcelona, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, chocolate tasting.
What?
It says a perfect gift for Mother's Day, but Mother's Day was last weekend, so you can have post-Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's they're gonna learn all about chocolate trees and chocolate seeds and how chocolate is made and have chocolate tasting with Mark Cicenti, chocolate historian and chocolatier and chef and instructor and all kinds of things. He's a chocolate guy. There's a fee for reservations. Let's see. You can write to slowfoodsantafe@gmail.com or call 983-0062. I'm assuming you can kind of just show up too, but you can go to Slow Food Chocolate Tasting at... just Google it.
Just Google
it. Too many letters in this
just
website.
Just Google the thing. Oh my gosh, on Saturday, speaking of a kid at heart, Battlefield, New Mexico, the Civil War and more. There's going to be Battlefield reenactments at... Where's it? Oh, El Rancho de las Golondrinas out there on Los Pinos Road. Now, this event is Saturday and Sunday. If you go to golondrinas.org, you can get more information. Of course, there's a fee to get in, but it's minimal, and it's a good time. These guys really put on, and gals, put on a great show.
It sounds like more of a guy thing, if I may say so.
You know, I suppose...
Battlefield reenactments?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Civil War, there weren't that many women soldiers.
I dare say.
But also on Saturday, if you're not into, like, you know, the war thing, you can go to El Día de la Gente, the Community Days, which is happening on the plaza from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. There's going to be Soul Fire is going to be performing, Jerry Nelson Blues Band, a whole bunch of other folks are going to be performing. There's going to be nonprofit organization booths and food vendors and all kind of stuff. Not sure if we're going to be allowed to sit on the grass or not. Don't know that. But it's from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on the plaza. There is no charge. And hey, even if you're not going to the event, on Saturday, all city-owned parking lots, no charge.
Nice.
On Saturday.
Excellent. You know, park just for the sake of it.
Just park for just drive down there. Like even if you've got other stuff to do, just go down and sit in your car in a parking space just to revel in it.
Inside the parking garage,
just like, oh
where
my
it's
God,
where it's
I can't
gray.
Believe how totally free this is. It's awesome.
Santa Fe High School presents Shifting Reflections, an advanced student art show. The opening reception is today from 5 to 7 at the Georgia O'Keeffe Education Annex building. And my friend Lori Andrews, who is a wonderful art teacher there, wrote to me about this. And check it out. When you're downtown going to all the other things, check out what the young people are doing. I mean, these are high school kids, Santa Fe High, who have an excellent art program.
Yes.
Shifting Reflections.
Shifting Reflections. Also, let's see, on Sunday, actually, the Food Depot's Empty Bowls Project is on Sunday. You can enjoy soups provided by local restaurants served in bowls crafted by New Mexico potters to benefit Northern New Mexico's food bank, which always needs replenishing in these trying times.
Very, very important.
There's going to, let's see, what else? Kamusha Women's Marimba Ensemble is going to be performing. There's going to be a silent auction. That is from noon to 2 p.m. in Alumni Hall on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design over there on St. Michael's Drive. If you go to thefooddepot.org, you can find out more information. There's a fee for admission and there's a fee for the bowl, but everything goes to support the Northern New Mexico Food Bank.
Yeah, and if you do it every year, you can collect bowls from all that, and people can amass years worth of these wonderful
bowls.
Right,
you can throw out all your dishes you bought at IKEA that break anyway, and use the
ones
nice
from Kmart never break.
No.
I have these bowls. You can try to smash them against the cement; they won't break.
Really?
Yep.
Do your dogs use them too?
No, they have metal bowls. Mm. Art Cats presents Santa Fe premier soul and funk group Soultastic at the Ore House Milagro, 139 West San Francisco. Every other Friday from May 13th until the 24th of June. So it's from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. It says, come dance your heart out.
Hey, I got this
And I think there's also still salsa at the lodge with DJ Sofrito.
I understand there's a new restaurant up there, too.
At the lodge?
At the lodge. It's called Los Cuates.
The twins.
Yeah, I think they had some kind of a gala opening celebration. I'm not sure what they did. I'm not sure, but on Cinco de Mayo.
Huh.
And so now they're up and running.
Excellent.
Oh, before I forget,
it's not really twins.
I got this late in the day yesterday. Zane Bennett Contemporary Art over there on Guadalupe Street is having their fourth annual open hands auction. And that is tonight from 5 to 7:30 p.m. If you call 428-2320, you can get more details. Open Hands, a great organization.
One of the
reasons that they're doing this is that, you know, they've put their old building up for sale over there off Rodeo Road. And there was some confusion in the community about whether or not Open Hands would still be operating. And I assure you that they are. And this is a way for people to come in and not only support the organization, but to learn how they're going to continue after this building is sold. So
excellent.
I think that's really important.
All right. Why are they selling the building? Just to raise
it's
money?
It's an upkeep. I went to the building. I actually judged some kind of a food competition there a year or 2 years ago. And it's huge. It takes a lot of maintenance. And it's expensive. And for an organization like Open Hands, which, you know, I mean, depends on the community for a lot of support, it's hard to keep that upkeep is just too difficult. So, you know, in the interest of downsizing without sacrificing any of their programs, they have to get rid of the building. So good luck to them. And that is tonight from 5 to 7:30 p.m. There's all kinds of openings this weekend. You know, not as many in the Pasatiempo calendar as last weekend. I think there were like 33 last weekend. For some reason, there's less this weekend.
Fewer.
Fewer. The editor getting edited. That's so sad.
Yeah, well.
Argo Studio Gallery. Oh, gosh. Why did I pick that one? No, I'm kidding. If I pronounce this name wrong, I'm so sorry. Kathy Kollwitz. And contemporaries. Prints from the Robert Bell Collection. Work by German Expressionist. Reception 4 to 7 p.m. tonight over there at Argo's Studio and Gallery on Louisa Street. That's up through May. There's a story in today's Pasatiempo on page 36.
Definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I love the work.
Yeah.
I was kind of kind of jealous that I didn't get that story, but that's another story.
Santa Fe, Carrie.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Really, thank
it's
you.
It's your show.
No, really.
I'm just here for the coffee.
Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute Wednesday Night Movie Series presents Nicotine Bees.
Ooh.
And it's, there will be, let's see, Loretta McGrath from Bee Genius Honey will be there. There will be free movie food donated by the Flying Star Cafe in La Montañita. And it's the 18th of May, which is Wednesday, at 7 o'clock at the Farmers Market Hall Pavilion on Paseo de Peralta. For more information, farmersmarketinstitute.org or 983-7726. And they've got a terrific movie series over there. And I, because of the limits of time, I can't cover everything. But maybe I'll try to do the next one, because it's definitely worth going to their movies.
Now, is this one? Is this that film about this string of pesticides that uses nicotine as a base, and they've somehow linked it to the disappearance of bees?
I don't know.
I think that's what it's about. But also, did you read recently there was something about how cell phones are harmful to bees?
Yes.
That's scary.
It is scary.
It is scary. I mean, I don't know many bees that use cell phones, but they should stop immediately.
Do you use cell phones?
This is cool.
Nicotine-based pesticide may explain bee colony collapse.
That's
yep.
sad.
Time for organic farming, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Time to buy organic. I've actually finally made the switch over to buying as much organic food as I can. I resisted for years because it's a lot more expensive. But sometimes it's not even that much more expensive. You have to just shop more carefully.
Yeah.
But it's really important.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're contributing to bee colony collapse and Lord knows what else.
Lord knows what else. That reminds me that tomorrow is, and I forget what the official name for it is, but the United States Postal Service is collecting food donations tomorrow. So in the morning, go through your cupboards, make room for all that great organic stuff, and put non-perishable food items in a plastic bag or whatever bag you can muster and hang them out by your mailbox, because the postman will come by and pick them up and they'll be distributed to food banks all across the state.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's
excellent.
Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday the 14th. I got to tell people about Ephraim or Ephraim, not sure how to pronounce it, but Eden Pearlstein, who is a New York hip-hop artist, a rapper, and who does a lot of sort of I don't want to call him a Jewish rapper, but he does a lot of rapping on the subject of the chosen people.
Really?
And yes, but he also does a lot of he rhymes about a lot of other stuff, and I love this guy's style. He's going to be performing at 7 p.m. on the 14th at Core Zone, along with State of the Mingo, which is our fun little local hip hop collective, and then there's Glad as Knives, Watermelon 7, and DJs Werewolf Micah and Shark Siren, aka I believe Miss Ginger. That's at 9 p.m. Saturday at Core Zone. If you go to CoreZoneSantaFe.com, you can find out about that show and all others happening at that venue.
And remember, no group owns any genre of music.
That's true.
It's true.
That's why I was reluctant to call him a Jewish rapper.
Well, it's identifier.
He's a rapper who happens to be Jewish.
Well, if he's singing Jewish subjects or rapping, rhyming.
Yeah.
Tonight, a Collected Works bookstore. Susan McDuffie and Marie Romero Cash, whom we had on the air the other day, all too briefly, unfortunately, but they're wonderful writers. They're both mystery writers. One is set her book in, I think it was 14th century Scotland, and the other in present-day Santa Fe. And it's so vivid that we already live here, but you're really, you feel like you're there.
You feel like you're there, and you are, so it's like a double whammy.
Both wonderful writers, and they'll be talking to each other tonight at 6 o'clock at the Collected Works Bookstore, and then Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, the launch of Spring 2011 New Mexico Poetry Review. Numerous readings from local poets, and the new edition of this Spring Poetry Review, New Mexico Poetry Review, features 5 new poems by Dr. N. Scott Momaday.
Sweet.
And then on Monday, the 16th, the Santa Fe Alliance and the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce present Carol Sanford, author of Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. And Carol Sanford is on a mission to create a better world through business. And so she's doing it on a pretty big scale. Then Tuesday on the 17th at 6 o'clock, also at Collected Works Bookstore, Swaya
presents, Collective Works and SWI present Don James and One Nation, One Year, a photographic journey that transcends borders, languages, distance, time, and cultural barriers. For 1 year, Navajo photographer Don James drove from one side of the Navajo Nation to the other and documented everything he saw along the way. He traveled by dirt road, horseback, on foot, and as a hitchhiker. He took 105,000 photographs.
Oh, my God.
All of which, no, some of which will be at Collective Works. And then on Thursday, Tres Hombres, and Phil Geronimo, Tommy Archuleta, and Christopher Johnson. They are three young men poets, and they will be reading on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And I'm going to have them on, well, actually, I think two of the Tres Hombres, next week.
Oh, cool.
Because the third one can't make it.
Can't make it?
No. Nope. It's very sad.
It's sad.
On Wednesday... I'm going to pimp the paper here for a second. Brain Power and a Brown Bag Lecture. The series continues with Frontier Journalism, the oldest paper in the newsiest place by our fearless managing editor at the New Mexican, Rob Dean. That is from noon to 12:45 p.m. in the Meme Community Room on Wednesday at the New Mexico History Museum. There's no charge. It's called Brown Bag for a reason. Bring your lunch. No one's going to feed you. You have to bring your own lunch.
Okay.
Oh, what else? Oh, Thursday, Voices Behind the Virus. The New Mexico Community AIDS Partnership and AIDS United AmeriCorps of New Mexico present a play based on true stories of people living with HIV in New Mexico at 7 p.m. on Thursday at Warehouse 21. There's a requested donation, but nobody is going to be turned away. You can find out more by going to warehouse21.org.
Tonight... Taste of Africa.
Look, yes. Michelle LaFlamme.
Yes. Issa Niafaga, who founded Hope for Tikar People.
Yes.
Hope International for Tikar People, who's a former resident of the Santa Fe Art Institute and a good friend of mine. And Soulful Presence, which is another amazing nonprofit in Santa Fe, are hosting a Taste of Africa tonight. There'll be food by Jumbo Cafe, music by Hakim and Gasali. There'll be West African dance, and in fact, our youth education and outreach director will be performing. Shayla Patton will be performing some of that African dance. All of that is a fundraiser for those organizations. It takes place tonight at El Museo Cultural, and from 5:30 to 9:30. And so, since it's a fundraiser, there is a fee. But you can call 992-0591 for more info.
And they're wonderful. That's one of my picks of the night, definitely.
Yes.
And Issa Niafaga is an incredible artist and person from Cameroon who does things like he collects money from events like this, and then he gets wheelchairs and crutches and aspirin and all kinds of, you know, every kind of medicine, and brings it back to Cameroon and distributes it in villages near where he's from. And he's just a great-hearted person.
He really is a wonderful, wonderful guy.
And a great artist. It should be a great fun event.
Yeah.
And the food from Jumbo, my favorite.
Yeah.
So good.
Little fufu, little goat.
I eat the goat every time I go there. Just saying. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. Rob DeWalt is with us. Speaking of the arts, every Friday he's with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And let's see, what else? We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc and Hector for engineering today. I forgot Hector's last name. I'm sorry. stay tuned for the BBC. I know it, but I just can't remember. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team with the fabulous Bill Dupuis and Dan Garrity. And after that, jazz a la carta.
Cool.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. One more thing. Go see Hesher. Go see Hesher at CCA.
Oh, God, that looks good.
Cinematheque. Go see the film Hesher.
Mm-hmm. Go see movies at the screen and the Cinematheque because they're wonderful, and all the other theaters. Hasta la vista, baby.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.